The lesson is from the book of Revelations. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
2017, we're at the end, and it's been quite a year, hasn't it? It's actually a little overwhelming and a little unsettling when you think about it and all that's happened over the course of the last year. We've had record-breaking, massive hurricanes that have wiped out complete islands, one right after the other, it seemed like. Raging fires that burned thousands of miles of property and land. A country that seems more divided than it is united. Disturbed individuals who walk into churches and just start shooting people. Crazy weather patterns, and even crazier political tensions in the world. Gender identity. Now that's something, isn't it? Did you know that Facebook has 56 different choices for people to claim as their gender identity today? 56 of them. So have you ever wondered kind of what's going on in the world? Seems like things are just more and more out of control. It reminds me a little bit of what Jesus said about that there would be wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes. Nation will rise against nation. But, he said, see to it that you are not alarmed, for these things must take place. And then he said these words, "All of these are but the beginning of birth pains." That's interesting, because we know that when a woman gives birth, her labor pains begin slow and not so bad. And we think, oh, I can do this, I can handle this. But then things get a little bit more intense and a little more frequent and a lot more intense. And as things in our world seem to be happening around us at such a constant pace, I often wonder if we're nearing the end. We can never know for sure until it actually happens. And Jesus said that no one knows the hour, not the angels, not even Jesus himself. Only the Father knows when the end will come. And it will come like a thief in the night when no one is expecting it. So how does that make you feel? I got to tell you that I have all but stopped watching the news because it's just so depressing. Do the headlines make you nervous? Do you ever lay awake at night and worry about things? Do you avoid thinking about it altogether? Do you ever fear the end? Well, if so, and I'm sure that all of us have had some of those feelings, but I have good news for you. Like John said earlier, we know the end of the story. And it's a happy ending. God wins. 2017 has also been a great year for those of us reading through the Bible together. How many of you have been reading the chronological Bible? And how many of you have stayed on track? Good job. My hand went down. So if you have stayed on track, you will be reading the last few chapters, the last few chapters of the book of Revelation today. The end of a remarkable and epic true story, God's story, our story. Don't get me wrong, there were times when it was so brutal. I'm telling you, around about August, I was ready to give up. Had it not been for my Monday night Bible study, I had to be prepared, and they held me accountable. We kind of hung in there together. But now that we've reached the end, I'm finding it very interesting to take a step back and look at the big picture of what we've read over the last year. Today, the Word promises this glorious ending with a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. We know the end of our present heaven and earth is coming. We can't be sure when, and frankly, it's really not up to us to know when. But I guarantee you, the end is coming. Jesus will come back to judge the living and the dead, and we need to be ready for him. So let's go back to the beginning and take a little closer look. As I was preparing this message, I found it fascinating to lay the beginning of the book next to the end, the creation story of the heaven and earth against the creation of a brand new heaven and earth in Revelation 21. It's actually less about comparing the beginning to the end as it is to comparing the beginning to a brand new beginning. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This is the first earth that had passed away in our reading for today in Revelation, the same earth that we live on right now. It's fascinating to me to read on in Genesis. It says, "The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." In Revelation today, we read, "The sea was no more." That just struck me. What is it about the beginning that the waters were there and the waters are here? The waters were even there before the earth was formed, but in Revelation, the sea was no more. So what is it about water? Well, it occurred to me that the one single thing that sets this planet apart from all others, that makes it inhabitable for human beings, is water. Without water, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't be here. We wouldn't survive. With water, God has created a planet that sustains itself and has sustained itself for thousands and maybe millions of years. He has provided for literally everything we need to sustain life: food to eat, air to breathe, water to drink and to grow more food, sunshine for warmth and light and vitamin D, and all the other vitamins and minerals that our bodies need. A moon that helps keep our feet planted securely on the ground so that we don't go floating around in space. He has given us bodies that heal themselves and regenerate themselves over and over again, year after year. Plants and trees that continue to provide a fresh source of air for us to breathe. The list goes on and on. So many truly remarkable things that we don't even notice most of the time. Well, at least until we don't have them anymore. As our planet gets more and more polluted and our natural resources seem to be dwindling and evil looms heavy, we have legitimate fears. We fear what's going to happen and what the world will be like for our children and our grandchildren. It's hard to have hope sometimes. But I am here to tell you this morning that despite what seems like a pretty gloomy, hopeless outlook, we have extraordinary hope. We have the blessed hope of Jesus Christ and what his death and resurrection means for us. And because of what Jesus has done for us, we have the hope of a new heaven and a new earth where all of our fears are no more, where there is no more pain or suffering, no more tears of sorrow, no more worry or stress or jealousy or anger or hatred or evil of any kind. As we read on past our text in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation, we find that this new heaven doesn't even need a sun or a moon because the glory of God will give it light, and Jesus is the lamp. There will be a river of the water of life flowing through the middle of it, the same water of life that Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well about, that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And the tree of life will be there, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, one for each month, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. This is the same tree in the Garden of Eden that God said, if we eat of it, we will live forever. Chapter 22 in Revelation says, no longer will there be anything accursed. Notice the complete absence of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it goes on to say, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. What a glorious hope. And the best part about this new heaven and this new earth is that God will be there. Jesus will be there in person, face to face, for all eternity. That is an amazing, incredible, spectacular hope that we have. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly during his ministry. He faced all kinds of hardships. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten within an inch of his life on 5 different occasions. He faced great opposition everywhere he went. And yet he wrote in his letter to the Romans, for I consider that the light and momentary afflictions of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Absolutely nothing that we go through in this life even begins to compare to the glory that awaits us. Nothing. So why do we suffer and worry and wonder? Why do we have to endure all that this world throws our way? The pain and the suffering, the fear and the doubt. Sometimes these are the attacks of the enemy as he seeks to steal our joy and kill our faith and destroy our hope. And sometimes God allows these things for us to learn from the consequences of our own actions. As we read through the Old Testament, we saw rebellion after rebellion, beginning with Adam and Eve, as sin and death was introduced to humankind when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right after God had specifically told them not to. They were deceived by the enemy, the same way that we still are today, as he whispers lies in our ears to distract us and turn us away from the truth. And then came those Israelites. Wow, they were out there in the wilderness just complaining away after God had mightily and miraculously delivered them from generations of slavery. They were thirsty, so God provided water right out of a rock, and enough water to quench the thirst of over 2 million people. But then they complained they were hungry. So what did God do? He fed them. He fed them every single day for 40 years with fresh quail and manna straight from heaven. And did they say thank you? No. They just complained that they were sick and tired of all that quail and manna every single day. Sound familiar? God continued to provide for their needs, and he fought their battles, and he protected them. He was right there for them, giving them food and guidance and provision and protection, but they chose to grumble and complain and turn away. That whole generation died in the wilderness due to their disbelief and disobedience. So what about us? When we're in the wilderness of life, all stressed out and worried, fearful, in pain, hungry for satisfaction, or thirsty for more of what life can give us, do we murmur and complain? Or do we turn to God as the sovereign one, the one who provides and protects and takes care of our every need? I have to admit, it was pretty easy to sit back and judge those Israelites. They just didn't get it. They didn't see that God had given them everything they needed, and then they turned away from him and against him and worshiped a golden calf of all things. Well, I hate to break it to you, but we are no different. We are just like those Israelites. Life happens to us, and we moan and we groan. We complain and doubt and turn away to the things of this world to find fulfillment and satisfaction. To be completely honest with you, I did a little bit of my own grumbling and complaining about having to write this message on my winter break. after a really, really busy December. I mean, you know, let's face it, we're all cursed, right? We have inherited the same knowledge of good and evil as every other person to walk this planet, and we don't always know how to handle it very well. Over and over throughout the Old Testament, God warned his people, turn away from those idols, turn toward me, follow my commands and decrees so that it might go well with you. And God says, just put your trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will make your path straight. Sadly, our tendency is always to lean on our own understanding. We are not always quick to remember to acknowledge God in all our ways. We go our own way and then cry out to him when things go bad. We are really no different or no better than those Israelites that we like to shake our heads at. Verse 8 today, in today's reading, says this, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Well, that's actually us. We are the cowardly and the faithless. According to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we are the murderers and the adulterers. He said that if we are angry in our hearts with our brothers, we have broken the commandment, you shall not kill. And if we have lust in our hearts for someone else, we are adulterers. Remember that while man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. We cannot hide from God. He knows our hearts. He knows our intentions and our thoughts and hidden motives. He is painfully aware of all of the sin in our flesh. Even the Apostle Paul wrote about the sin that lived in his flesh and how he did the very things that he hated. He went on to talk about his desire to do what is right, but lacking the ability to carry it out. He wrote, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." This is the human condition. We are sinful beings beyond our own understanding. It is our inheritance from the first bite that Eve took in the Garden of Eden way back in Genesis chapter 3. But thanks be to God, that is not the end of the story. Here is the best news yet. In that same passage, Paul wrote to the Romans, he wrote these great words of hope and victory. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even though we are sinful, accursed human beings living in a world full of suffering and death and every possible form of evil, we have been saved. Even though we are deserving of the second death in the fiery lake of hell, we have been reconciled to God and made righteous in his sight through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thanks be to God. Even though things look grim and we fear for the future of this planet, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we have the great and glorious hope of a new heaven and a new earth, living in the light and the presence of our Almighty God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is it that we're supposed to do with all of this great news right here and right now? Well, today is about good news, so guess what? I have more for you. Because Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all of our sins and set us free from the power of sin and death, we have been made worthy to be in God's light and presence right here and right now. We have the hope of heaven, meeting Jesus face to face and living in God's presence for all of eternity. And we have the hope of his presence in our lives and in our hearts right now. You see, eternity began the moment we came to believe in Jesus as our Savior. The Bible says that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." Our hope is right now, right here, right now. Paul wrote, and hope does not disappoint us. It does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The The Spirit of God is alive and well and powerful in this world. God shines his light and his love on us and in us and through us to this hurting world through his Spirit that lives in us. We are his vessels as long as we get out of the way and long enough to let him have his way. So what does that look like? Does it look like missionaries traveling to the far corners of the earth to minister to starving children? Yes, it does. Does it look like good Christian folks going to serve food to the homeless once a month? Sure, it does. Does it look like filling a shoebox with stuff to bless a child somewhere in the world at Christmas time? Yes, it does. Does it look like buying extra food to donate to the food pantry for those in need? Of course it does. Does it look like teaching Sunday school or participating in a ministry here at church? Yes, it looks like all of those things. But maybe even more than any of those things, we are filled with the love and the light of Christ so that we can pray for and love the person standing right in front of us at any given moment. Living as a vessel for God's love and light is not only in the grand gestures of giving our time and resources to a cause, but maybe even more so in the small gestures of loving one another right here and right now, bringing healing and light to this dark world, one person at a time. Living with hope in God's victory over this scary world means living out his call to go and do likewise, to get down on our knees and personally help our neighbors and our friends wash away the dirt of life. While missionary work is a very worthy calling, we don't have to go all the way to Africa or anywhere further than right where we sit to be surrounded by people who are in desperate need of Christ's love and compassion. I would dare to guess that there is someone sitting within just a few feet of you right now who could really use the love of Christ through a warm hug or a listening ear. We never know the impact God can have through us when we're willing to listen, to hear, and let him lead us to respond. Many of you know that I spend my days as a public school elementary teacher with about 500 little kids, making music, having fun. Not all at once, thank you, Jesus. But while I have a definite job to do and a curriculum to teach, those things are secondary to what I consider to be my primary mission field. Every day, I have the opportunity to let God help me love the kid who is hurting because her grandma is dying, or hug the one who is missing his dad because he's in jail. Even taking a genuine interest in a loose tooth or a new pair of shoes means so much to a six-year-old. It doesn't take much just to keep my eyes open and my spirit ready to let God leave me and a child feels the light and the love of Christ. But sometimes, some days, I don't really feel much like doing that. I'm tired and I'm impatient and they get on my nerves. Sometimes it's really hard to get past, what about me? It's easy to get so caught up in what's in it for me that we miss the opportunity to reach outside of ourselves and bless someone else. And then we miss out on our own blessing. Because there is nothing in this world that satisfies our souls quite like reaching out to someone with the love of Christ. Just imagine if everyone lived like that. This world would be a very different place. And it starts with us. If we can make a difference in one life, then we have made a difference. This world can be a very dark and scary place. We can live in fear, or we can let God's perfect love cast out all fear and live in the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. As we enter into 2018, I encourage you to face your fears and all of your challenges with hope and assurance that God uses everything to teach us and shape us and grow us in our faith. Look at every single person as an opportunity to shine the light and love of Christ in this world. Walk through every day with intention to trust God, Lean not on your own understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways. Live life knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have nothing to fear and everything to hope for. Behold, he is making all things new. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.